Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
God wants us to live a life of rest, a life of continual recovery and restoration. We looked at that last time over in the book of Joel. We saw that the Lord himself is a restorer. Isaiah actually calls him the restorer. The Lord is the restorer. He is the restorer of our souls. He is the restorer of our entire lives. It doesn't just stop with your soul. Over in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "So I will restore to you the years." I like that. I'll restore to you what? The years. The years that the swarming locust has eaten. God's got a record of the years of your life. And he knows how the enemy has stolen things from you. How the enemy has kept you back from his, God's best for your life. But he's a restorer. He keeps good records. And he says, "Vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. I'll repay, saith the Lord." I'll repay. Payday's here. I said, it's payday. It's restoration time. It's the day of vengeance, the vengeance of our God. This is who he is. This is what he wants to bring to pass in your life. And as you are growing up in the faith, growing up in your knowledge of God, growing up in the truth, you're coming to a place where you're able to receive a full restoration for those things that were stolen from you or those things that were kept from you while you did not have the faith, while you did not have the understanding, while you still were ignorant or you're still a baby Christian. The Lord looks and he says, "I'm going to restore all this to you, all this stuff that was taken from you, all these things that you were taken advantage of by the enemy, by other people." And of course, that's the enemy, the devil, working through people. People really aren't the problem. It's the devil. He's the problem maker. He's the troublemaker, right? He works behind the scenes to cause problems. And the Lord has seen it, and he sees that we haven't been in a position to get it. But now, bless God, he's just growing us up, growing us up, growing us up, getting us over here into a place of faith, hallelujah, where he's able to bring restoration of all these years. Man, that's a lot of good stuff. I believe there's interest on all of it, too. I believe it's all been in the Lord's, in the account there, you know. And it's been collecting interest by the day. Come on, it's payday. The devil's going to make the devil regret that he ever stood in your way, that he ever messed with you. What he meant for evil, the Lord is turning for your good and his glory. And he will be glorified in your restoration. Somebody shout, "He's the restorer,
he's the restorer
of my life."
My life.
That word restore means repair, to renew, rejuvenate, revive. Oh, I like that. I'm ready for a revival. How about you? That means to reinvigorate, revitalize, refresh, energize. Resuscitate. So whether you've been sleeping and you just need to be woken up, or you've been, or there's some things in your life that has been as good as dead, he's ready to resuscitate. Come on, he's the God who raises the dead. Death, even death, is not a problem for the Lord. I think he proved that to us, didn't he? He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. I said he conquered it, and he wants to show off his victory in your life. He wants to put his victory on display in your life. He wants to resuscitate. He wants to revive. He wants to rejuvenate. He wants to refresh. He wants to energize. He wants to repair. Do you have anything that needs to be repaired? God wants to repair it. God wants to revive it. God wants to resuscitate it. God wants to make it right. I said he wants to make it right. He wants to heal. We know that Jesus is healer. That is who he is. He has proved himself. He's not the afflicter. He's not the oppressor. He is the deliverer. Jesus never once oppressed anybody, did he? He didn't go around doing bad. He didn't go around hurting people. He didn't go around afflicting people. He didn't go around making people sick. He went about repairing the brokenhearted, repairing, healing, repairing bodies that were broken, bodies that weren't working right. He mended them. He cured them. Isaiah 40. Notice what it says here in verse 30. It says, even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, that's rest mode. I said, that's rest mode. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So they're resting while they're running. And that's why they never run out of strength. That's why they never grow weary in running. Because they're being restored and renewed and strengthened even as they're running. Because while they're running, they're waiting. They're waiting on the Lord. They're looking to him. They're trusting in him. They're resting in him. Resting in faith. Everything we do in faith. And thus, that means we're doing it in the rest mode. In the waiting on God mode. Right? Doesn't the Bible say he leads us beside still waters and what? Restores our soul. There's your soul. And then he tells us over in Romans that we are to renew our mind with the word of God. Happy we need their minds renewed. As you renew your mind with the word of God will renew your strength. Spirit, soul, and body. A renewed mind. A rejuvenated mind. A refreshed mind. Woo, hallelujah. We got your mind. We got your soul. We got your body. We got a healing in every part of your life. Because we have a restorer. We have a reviver. We have a regenerator. Living on the inside of us. Notice over in Titus chapter 3, we talked about this scripture last time, Titus 3 verse 5. He says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, talking about salvation, but according to his mercy he saved us. According to his mercy he saved us. Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit today? Well, thank God for those that have made Jesus the Lord of their life. He's living on the inside of them. And who is he? He is the regenerator. He is the renewer. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. He wants to regenerate and renew your life from the inside out. Calm down. You're getting ahead of yourself. But let's get there. Isaiah chapter 28. Let's talk about the regenerator. Isaiah 28, verse 11. Look at this promise. All the way back here. Through the prophet Isaiah, looking ahead to the day when God's people would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the renewer. The restorer, the regenerator. Isaiah saw it. And notice what he said in verse 11 of Isaiah 28. For with stammering lips and another tongue, He will speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet you would not hear. And it's so sad to see that so many have not heard. So many folks have rejected. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about folks that have been born again. They have rejected this wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit. They've rejected the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that's what he's describing here in verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue. Hold your place there and notice what he says in Mark, the 16th chapter. Mark 16, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. They had been afraid and were hiding from the Jews. But then Jesus said to them, to wait for this baptism from on high, this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he told them when they received that, this is what they're to do. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Who are those who believe? My people. My people who are called by my name. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. Praise God. They'll cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues, with stammering lips and another tongue. Isaiah was prophesying about this coming to pass. And it began in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And those disciples in that upper room were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, it didn't just stop there. Jesus told them here in Mark 16, tells us. He says, those who believe in my name, they'll speak in tongues. It wasn't just limited for the 120 that were in that upper room that got baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's for all those who believe in this dispensation of grace. It's for all those. How many people speak in that heavenly language? They speak in tongues. They've got those stammering lips. Hallelujah. What a powerful, powerful gift. Isaiah talked about it. And what did he say about it? He said, this is the rest. This is the rest. This is the rest. Well, we know rest is talking about faith. So speaking in tongues must affect your faith. Is that true? Are there any scriptures to tell us that speaking in tongues affects our faith? Yeah, over there in Jude, in verse 20. It's only one chapter. Jude 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. What? Build yourself up on your most holy faith. You build your faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. What's that? That's praying in tongues. Speaking in tongues. It builds you up. It builds up your faith. We see that confirmed over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And in verse 2, it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Doesn't, regardless of their nationality, they're not speaking to men. For no one understands him. Not the English-speaking man, not the Latin-speaking man, not the Spanish-speaking man, not the Chinese-speaking man, Japanese-speaking man. He says no man understands him. This is not an earthly language. He says he speaks to God and not to man, for no man understands him. For in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Mysteries. Or we could say divine secrets. Ooh, hallelujah. When you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking out divine secrets. He says in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now that word edifies also means to build up. Well, we just saw that in Jude 20. You beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, you can't pray in tongues without the Holy Spirit. I said, you can't pray in tongues. Now, you can pray from your head, and you can pray things from your heart, but you can't pray in tongues without the help of the Holy Spirit. So that's why he says, you beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit is building yourself up, building up your faith. He says it right here, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14. He who speaks in a tongue builds himself up, edifies himself. Now, another more modern translation that would be fitting here for edifies himself or builds himself up is charges himself up. Charges himself up. We're talking about regeneration. We're talking about renewal. We're talking about restoration. We're talking about revival, rejuvenation. He who speaks in a tongue charges himself up, recharges himself up. Ha! When you're speaking in tongues, you are charging up your spirit, man. You're building up your faith. You are causing yourself to rest on the inside. You're bringing rest to your soul. Why? Because you're causing faith to rise. You're causing faith to rise. This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. Isaiah 28, 13, verse 12. This is the refreshing. Everybody say refreshing. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, speaking in tongues will refresh you. You know what that tells me? You got no business being weary. You got no business being weary. You got no business being weak. No, 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 no. That just tells me you're not tapping in to the restorer. You're not tapping into the gift. You're not using the gift, because if you're using the gift, you're charging yourself up. You're getting charged up by the Holy Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, you're getting charged up. You're getting juiced up. You're getting fired up. Right? Something's getting charged up. It's getting fired up. It's getting full of electric power. It's getting full of energy. See, God wants us to be getting restored and energized and fired up, 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 fired up. Oh, hallelujah. Living in a continual state of restoration and rejuvenation. This is the rest. This is the refreshing. Praise God. In other words, this is a continual vacation. I mean, this makes Hawaii look like a prison sentence in comparison. I'd much rather pray in the Holy Ghost than go to Hawaii. Don't get me wrong. I'll take Hawaii. But I won't take it over praying in the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. I won't take it praying over the Holy Ghost. And I can't always go to Hawaii, but I can always go in the Holy Ghost. I can always flow in the Holy Ghost. I can always move out in the Spirit of God and flow in the Spirit and be restored and rejuvenated and strengthened and revived so that I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Woo, we're not to live in our own human strength. We're not to live according to our own power. Jesus said, you shall receive power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, thank God, has he come upon you? Well, is he still on you? It's not enough that he has come on you. You want him to continuously be rising up upon you and filling you and strengthening you and restoring you. It's a continual working of the Holy Spirit. He lives on the inside of us to accomplish this in and through our lives. Put him to work. I said, put him to work. By being a doer of the word. By speaking the word of God. And notice what else he says over in Mark 16. Verse 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it by no means hurt them. What a promise that is. Any kind of food poisoning or anything like that. You can rise up and say, won't hurt me. Won't hurt me. Doesn't matter what they say. Oh, somebody's poisoned the water. If you drank any of the water out of your faucet within the last 24 hours, you need to get down to the clinic. You need to get a shot right away. I already got my shot. I got my shot of Mark 16. And it's a good shot. It's got me feeling mighty fine. I know no deadly thing's going to hurt me. Hallelujah. Ooh, he says, it'll by no means hurt them. Who? Those who believe. It won't hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick. Who? Those who believe. And they will recover. My Lord Jesus, that's restoration. That's repair. Somebody say, there's recovery in my hands. There's restoration in my hands. There's a revival waiting to happen in my hands. Woo, hallelujah. We can release restoration. We can release healing. We can bring repair to others because we have the repairer living on the inside of us. Oh, this is good news. Do you guys meditate on these things once in a while? I hope so. Because if you don't meditate on it, then you're not going to think much about it, which means you're not thinking much about it, which means you're not going to believe very much. If you don't think much about it, you're not going to believe it very much. And it's just going to be like watching the evening news. That's all. It's just going to be like watching something on television. You just change the channel when you're done. Rather than it having an impact on your life. Man, you got to think on these things. I said, you got to think on these things. You got to ask the Lord, Lord, bring these things to my remembrance. First thing in the morning. When I wake up, remind me of these truths. Help me to be thinking on these things, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, bring these things to my remembrance constantly. I want these things to be real to me. I want to walk in the reality of this. I want to live like this. He's called you to live like this. I don't want to get to heaven and find out I was supposed to live like this, and I lived the furthest thing from this. I lived over here in my natural human strength, kept growing weary, running out of energy, and then just saying things like, I'm carrying my cross for Jesus. Thinking that's humility. Thinking that we're pleasing God. We're carrying our cross for Jesus. Why carry the thing when Jesus already took it? He already took my cross. I said, he already took my cross. He already took my shame. He already took the sins that were nailed to that cross. He took all the infirmities and sicknesses that were nailed to that cross. He took every curse that was nailed to that cross. What in the world am I carrying the cross for? I'm just going to let my life be his throne, not his cross. I'm going to let him rule and reign from my life. So many folks got to get to heaven. It's going to be such a rude awakening. I don't want to find out on that day, do you? When it's too late, you got all this regret when you stand before the king because you lived carnal. I want to live the life of God. Somebody say, he's renewing me. Because he said he would. So I believe it. So I say it. I say it in English. Or whatever language you speak. Of course, in here it's English, most people. You got some Spanish-speaking people. I speak it in my earthly language, and I speak it in my heavenly language. But I speak the truth. I speak these divine secrets. I speak these things into reality. And they become reality in my life. They become the reality of my life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the laying on of hands. The laying on of hands can provide a jump start of restoration in people's lives. There's been so many times I've laid hands on people. I've laid hands on them, and poof, the jump start began. And healing power flowed through their bodies. Strength began to work in their lives. And they went home rejoicing. But before they went to bed, they turned on the evening news and put all these things behind them. Put them all behind them until next church service. Put it all behind them. Lost the whole thing. Lost the whole thing. Friend, if you ever get a jump start through the laying on of hands, you need to keep the engine running. You need to keep the machine going. You keep it going by keeping your mouth going. I'm not talking about mouthing fleshly things. I'm talking about mouthing spiritual things. I'm talking about yielding your tongue to the Holy Spirit. Yielding your tongue to the restorer of life, the rejuvenator. So if you're I'm struggling, Pastor, really, I'm struggling even to hear you today. Well, that's a reflection of what's been coming out of your mouth or not coming out of your mouth. That's what that is. Sorry. I think it's the devil. Well, it's your mouth. Because when your generator's going, the devil has a real tough time getting close to you. Because energy's coming out. There's this force field. You got to have the power on. Whoop. Power on. And the power's on. The devil is off. He is off limits. Keep the power on. The devil knows. He knows when people are. I'm talking about fired up people. I'm talking about fired up people. Well, I sure hope there's going to be a revival in America. That sounds great. Well, Fred, it starts with you. It starts with one citizen at a time. Are you hearing me? It starts with one citizen at a time. Stop waiting around for somebody else to get what you've already got. And start putting it to work. Start stirring up the gift of God that's on the inside of you. Some of which has been given to you through the laying on of hands. Stir it up. Turn it on. Speak it out. That's how you stir it up. Speak it out. Sometimes you got to shout. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. But you got to yield yourself to the gift of God that's been given to you. You got to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Woo! Glory be to God. If the same Spirit that revived Jesus, that resuscitated Jesus from the dead, that same Spirit will revive you. I said to revive, resuscitate you, your life, or anything connected to your life. That's what he meant over there in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Friend, I got news for you. You have living on the inside of you something that historians have looked for centuries. Some have only thought it to be a legend, but it's on the inside of you, and it's the fountain of youth. Have you ever heard of the fountain of youth? The fountain of youth is living on the inside of you. Didn't we just read in Isaiah that your youth will be renewed? It'll be restored. It'll be repaired. Didn't he say that? That's what he said. He said your youth will be renewed. It will be restored. Restored. There's a fountain of youth on the inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit. He's actually called that over in Jeremiah chapter 2 in verse 13. He says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Notice they're still his people. And that they have forsaken him. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. You know, even that man, that rich man, he was a Jewish man who had died. Jesus talked about him. He descended down into Hades, down into hell. And he saw Abraham across the other side of hell over in what is known as Abraham's bosom. And he looked over there and he saw Abraham. He said, Father Abraham. What did he call him? Father. Father Abraham. Father Abraham. Have Lazarus. He recognized this man Lazarus there next to him. Have Lazarus dip his finger in some water and touch my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. And Abraham responded. He said, Son, remember, in your life, you received good things, and Lazarus evil things. Now he's comforted and you're tormented. But notice that. Father, son. Father, son. He was still a son of Abraham. And yet, he was on the wrong side of eternity. He was in the wrong place, wasn't he? My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me. The fountain of living water. That's what happens when you don't seek his face. You're either seeking his face or you're forsaking him. We're seekers of his face. They have forsaken me, the fountain. Everybody say the fountain. The fountain of living waters. And whom themselves, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Notice, he's called the fountain of living water. Jesus said over in John 4:14, he said, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting, that's unceasing, absolute fullness of life. Oh man, we got a fountain of youth on the inside of us. But it needs to become a fountain. When you're born again, it's not a fountain. It needs to become a fountain through your faith. I said through your faith. Through you turning, praying, turning to him, praying, seeking his face, turning from every evil thing. As you turn to him, as you grow in the faith, this fountain begins to spring up. What's on the inside of you needs to spring up. Friend, it's a fountain of youth. I said it's a fountain of youth. It's not just a legend. It's reality. I mean, if somebody told you they found the fountain of youth in the natural, they tell you they found it on the news. People are running down there. They're drinking it. They're being rejuvenated. There was a man, he was totally crippled. He got down there. He drank from the well. He's totally healed. So all kinds of people are jumping down there, and they're drinking it. And everybody that's drinking it is getting healed. They're being rejuvenated. Crowds are coming from everywhere. What would you do? Would you be like, oh, that's pretty nice. I got a doctor's appointment at 3. Well, I really got a doctor's appointment. You don't seem to understand. They have found the fountain of youth. They have found the fountain. What would you do if you knew they found the fountain? And it was really working. I mean, you said people going down, the wrinkles are disappearing. I got to go get a facial this afternoon. I don't got time for this fountain of youth stuff. I got an appointment with the cosmetologist. Oh, well, thank God for the cosmetologist. But I like this fountain of youth. Praise God, you got the fountain of youth, friend. I said, you got the fountain of youth on the inside of you. Job chapter 5. Verse 26, notice what he says here. He says, you shall come to the grave at a full age, as a sheaf of grain ripens in its season. So you got to understand, we get older and we mature, but we don't have to be broken down and aged. Are you listening to me? We can be being renewed. I'm preaching the Bible. I know it's too hard to believe. Something's not right about that. Study it. Get your mind renewed. We're talking about God here. This is what happened to Sarah. I don't have time for all this. But you know Abraham's wife, Sarah. She was almost 100 years old. But they got in faith concerning her having a baby at almost 100 years of age. Abraham, 100 years of age. They got in faith about it. And when their faith really fully kicked in, she was completely rejuvenated. Her youth was totally renewed to the point where she was not only able to have a baby, but when they went and visited a foreign land, the king of that land looked at Sarah and said, I got to have her in my harem. The cosmetologist couldn't get the credit for that one. Are you with me? Come on, we're talking about the king with the harem. He's got all the youthful ladies in there. And he wants Sarah? Are you kidding me? Something happened to Sarah. 100 years old. And the man's like, get that woman in the harem. And that's my woman right there. I'm just telling you. Read your Bible. The woman was completely restored. So we even have an example of it. We talked about Moses last time. 120 years of age. His natural vigor had not diminished. His eyes were not dim. The man was strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's what's working in me. You don't have to receive it. I'm going to receive it for me now. That's what's working in me. That's what's working in my eyes right now. That's what's working in every cell of my body right now. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to turn that thing on. I'm going to cause that fountain. So I'm going to push the button on that fountain. Are you listening to me? I'm going to cause that thing to spring up. I'm talking about life. Let's get that life springing up. So you see, we're not to be aging. We're to be ripening. We just get more ripe. Ooh, I like that. The Amplified Classic says it this way. You shall come to the grave in a ripe old age. And as a shock of grain goes up to the threshing floor in its season. Somebody say a ripe old age. Yeah, hallelujah. Sounds good. The CSB translation. It says, you will approach the grave in full vigor as a stack of sheaves is gathered in its season. Think about that. Go to the grave how? In full vigor. Yeah, we're going to die, but we're going to die good. You don't have to believe this. I understand that. But I'm going to go ahead and choose to believe it. I'm going to work it in my life. That's the way I want to go. In full vigor. The CEV translation. You will live a long life, and your body will be strong until the day you die. Come on. Your body will be strong till the day you die. So if you got things breaking down on you, the restorer is in the house. You got stuff that hasn't been working right, the restorer is in you. The reviver's in you. The renewer of your strength, the renewer of your youth is in you. You need to start turning that on. You need to cause that fountain to spring up. You need to start experiencing that rest and refreshing, that rejuvenation in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. So that you are healthy, you are strong, all the way to the grave. All the way to the time you die. Can you say amen? Hallelujah!
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.